So hi, today I'm sitting here with Ian Pilbeam. I am Chris Flanagan, I'm Managing Director of iMultiply. Ian and I are going to be having a chat about the challenges that business leaders and owners are going to face with employees coming back to the office and back to work. Ian has been in the HR profession for over 30 years. And last seven of those running the HR department, which offers advice and support to business leaders across Edinburgh and the Lothians on HR, employment law and health and safety. Ian is also a published author, having this year launched a book called Are We There Yet?, which recounts the family's gap year travels, which took them from Edinburgh to Ecuador, Bali to Beijing, Madagascar to Machu Picchu. So I feel very privileged to be chatting to you today. I would also like to say, Ian, on behalf of the business community, I think over the past 12 months, I know that I personally have really found a lot of advice from the webinars, from the toolkits that the HR department have pulled together. I know there was a lot of furlough announcements during a Saturday night that then kept you guys awake long into the weekend. So thank you, genuinely thank you for all of the support you've offered the local business community in the last 12 months. Today, we are going to sort of have a chat around some of those challenges that employers and businesses are going to face with employees coming back to work. And I think we sort of started off with a few topics. There's the recruitment angle, but there's also the mental health crisis. There's the sort of the mojo challenge, as you've described it, and the kicked can sort of situation. So maybe if you could kick off with us just sort of talking about the mental health crisis and really what you mean by that.
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for the opportunity to chat with you today and for those kind words. I found myself saying I've been doing HR for 30 years and I knew if I hung around long enough, I'd eventually become popular. And sadly, 2020 was that year because it was a year of so much confusion and uncertainty, 86 different versions of the job retention scheme, and a lot of fear for a lot of business owners. And a lot of fear for employees. And I said last March, I said that if you go into this period of isolation, and we didn't know it was going to be a year plus at that point, but if you go into this with mental ill health, the chances are you're going to come out worse. Yes. Not guaranteed, but the chances are. And equally, if you come into this okay, there is a chance that your mental health will suffer during the course of this year and you might come out worse. And I think we've seen that play out, you know, and so many people are desperate to get back to the office environment or the workplace for that social contact that they're missing, this isolation that comes from working from home. But also there's a challenge because managers are having to operate as modern managers more than they had to before. And what I mean by that is, you know, we come from the industrial age. We come from a world of command and control. And that was, certainly at the start of my 30 years in HR, that was the default. That was the norm. And management practices have progressed. And there's much more about empowerment and self-managed teams and trust and permission than there ever was. But for those managers for whom that doesn't come as an instinct, it's hard when you can't sit over that person's shoulder and see what they're doing. You just have to trust that they're working, not playing with the dog. And I think for everybody, therefore, whether it's employees or managers coming out of this, there needs to be a reset when it comes to mental health. And there's lots of things that employers and managers can do to address that. I'm happy to talk about it, but you know that they're going to have to do these things. Otherwise, they're going to find high levels of sickness absence, drops in productivity, high levels of turnover, a loss of discretionary effort, so people are there but not really there. And what does that lead to? Reputational damage, reductions in profit. And if you're on a sugary peg already with your business, then that could be just the thing that tips you over.
Absolutely. I think, you know, happy employees equals happy customers, you know, is the old Branson phrase. And employees aren't happy or aren't in a good state of mental health, that is going to create a challenge for businesses from a revenue perspective and a reputational perspective, as you say. Well, what advice would you give to leaders that feel that they could have team members or sections of the team coming back that could be struggling?
Yeah, I would say to expect it. I think the chances are you're going to experience it with at least one person in your team or your business. And then think about, okay, so what can I do to address that? And some of that's about prevention, and some of it's about support when it does happen, because perhaps it inevitably will for somebody, because, hey, we all have mental health and we all have mental ill health. So I tend to think we're all going to have mental ill health, just like we have physical ill health. It's about how bad it is, from a bad day to a full breakdown. So in terms of support, there's lots of things that we've put more employee assistance programs in place in the last year than in the previous seven. So that's a support mechanism when people need help. Making sure that employees understand mental health and they know what their own triggers are and their own coping mechanisms is really important. So there's lots of people out there that can help with that. You know, I've put people in touch with experts in that. But having awareness and support mechanisms internally for the team, really important. Destigmatization is part of it, of course. But then it's about the managers and the leaders in the organization. Because whilst you can't necessarily sort everything in everybody's life, there are things that go on in people's personal life that we just can't help even if we want to. You are responsible for the working environment. You know, and they say that people don't leave their job, they leave their manager. Mm-hmm. Okay. So are the management practices values driven? You know, are they living the values? Do they really know their people? Mm-hmm. Are they adequately supporting them? Is communication as effective as it could be? You know, all these things, and I've done a lot of training on this in the last few months for managers, really thinking about what practices do I need to put in place as an individual manager and as a leadership team to make sure this is a great place to work. Because people now, they've reevaluated their lives over the last year. Yeah, they've thought about what do I want from my life? What do I want from work? And if your values and the way that you treat them don't align with their values and how they feel they need to be treated, they'll be away. And they'll be away shouting what a dreadful place this is to work. So getting that right and investing in it, I think, is absolutely critical, Chris.
And it's the human touch, isn't it? It's the human touch on a one-to-one basis and managing the person in front of you as opposed to thinking of as a group, as a whole. One of the other challenges what you've discussed is the mojo challenge. So everybody has been working at home. Everyone's been used to now a year of their own setup and what times they work and what times they're productive. And for the businesses that are coming back in full time, I think those are sort of now in the minority. I think most are looking at hybrid working models. But there is going to be that mojo challenge of getting back into a normal working day.
I think boundaries have got blurred between home and work. You know, I've heard the saying, I don't know whether I'm working from home or living at work.
Yeah.
And I think that's been very, very true for a lot of people. And getting back into a routine will therefore be challenging. Getting back into an office where actually people interrupt you will be a challenge, rather than a message on Teams or WhatsApp that you can ignore or not as you want to. It'll be somebody tapping on your shoulder. That will feel strange. The commute will be something people aren't used to. And what's happened is people have developed different routines that work for them, or perhaps are unhealthy, but they think work for them. But they've also, in some cases, reevaluated their life and gone, actually, I don't think I want to do this job anymore. Or possibly I don't want to even do this line of work. Mm-hmm. Or I do, but I don't want to do it here. And they'll think I want to go, but there's a recession on. You know, we're doing a lot of recruitment for clients at the moment. You guys do it all the time. Candidate numbers are absolutely sky high. Mm-hmm. So getting that other job is quite challenging. Mm-hmm. So they're stuck. So they want to leave, but they can't. And therefore, what happens when people are unhappy in their job and they don't leave? They become a problem. Yeah, they either sink into the background and become unproductive, or they become dysfunctional and start to influence others. And these are challenges that managers are going to face over the next year. Managers are also going to have to face the challenge over the next few weeks and months that their people are going to be tired. The shops opened on Monday, and we're recording this on Thursday. And on Tuesday morning, I was in a shop, and I heard the two people in the shop that worked there. One said to the other, "My word, I was so tired last night. I skipped tea and I was in bed by 7:45. And I thought, yeah, probably you and everybody else that works in a bar or in a shop. Because there's a, I mean, I remember this when I took my year out to go traveling. Actually getting back into the way of work takes a while, but actually building up that stamina that comes from working consistently takes a while as well. You know, so you can't go to the office and have a grandpa nap like you maybe. Oops, there's a confession. I've not been doing that. Yeah.
It's so true that this week, obviously, so Scotland opened up a bit more this week, and I was in the office both on Monday and Tuesday. We had a new starter, and I was doing the induction, commuting in at normal times. Wednesday morning, delighted to be working from home again for the day, so I didn't have to sit on the M77. And I think it is, you know, that sort of change of lifestyle that people have got used to. Their commute is from their front room where they've had breakfast to the dining room table where the laptop is, or whatever the case is. So it's definitely going to be, you made an interesting point about the people that can't move on, and then they become disruptive in the team and create a problem within the team. What advice do you have to leaders or even new managers about dealing with that sort of problem?
The biggest piece of advice is don't ignore it. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, don't ignore it doesn't necessarily mean deal with it. And one of the skills I learned fairly early in my HR career was, you have to understand some situations, you need to nip them in the bud and deal with it really quickly. And others, you just need to let them blow themselves out. They'll resolve themselves. You know, you don't want to be going around stamping on everything. And if you know your people, hopefully everybody that's watching this knows their people inside out, you'll know instinctively, oh, that person, that yeah, they're giving it that again, and actually just ignore it and it'll go away. And the other person, blimey, that is unusual behavior for Jimmy. You know, there's something going on. I need to deal with it. So that's the first thing. The second thing is to then take advice, right? Because what we tend to do as managers is we see what's directly in front of our face. And what's directly in front of our face is the thing we're seeing as a problem. We see the what. We see the what that somebody's doing. But actually, by talking to a third party, and it might be a colleague in the business, it might be a business coach, it might be an HR professional, but talking to somebody else, you'll start to understand the why. Why are they behaving in this way? Yeah. And if you've got the what and the why, even if the why is an assumption, because it might be, you can then go and have that conversation. You know, I in the old days where there used to be networking events, I'd occasionally get asked to do a stand-up presentation, right? And really a sales pitch, I guess. And I put a bit of levity in it. I have a list of the things that we get asked in HR. One of them is, my employee has BO, should I tell him? Right? And I always say, yes, have that conversation, but don't do it in a team meeting. Right? But do, because your employee might not know. Mm-hmm. You might actually be doing them a massive favor, yeah, in giving them feedback. And if you have that conversation in this situation with the employee who's behaving dysfunctionally, but from a position of seek to understand, mm-hmm. rather than let's go in and blame them, then you'll find out what's going on and you've got a chance of addressing it.
Yeah.
Now, do I think that will work in 100% of cases? Absolutely not. Yeah, it will in many. Being that supportive, inquiring, compassionate leader will work in many cases. But there will be times when, to be frank, it's time for somebody to move on. they'll be happier elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And I suspect we'll be doing a lot of compromise agreements or settlement agreements, as they're called these days, over the next year or two, mm-hmm. as we address those people who are stuck. And it's better for them to move, as well as for their colleagues, their customers, and the organisation, for them to move on as well. Absolutely. But it just needs a bit of facilitation, shall I say.
Yes. And that that sort of also links into those the kicked can situation that you've described, which is there's maybe been a problem that furlough has been able to mask over the past 12 months. Whereas obviously we've still got furlough through to the end of September, but there's probably the use of it is going to start dwindling from July onwards as payroll costs come back in, et cetera. So that is something, again, people need to face up to and resolve.
If you'd have bugged my phone this time last year, so March, April, May last year, you would have heard a lot of conversations of, I'm going to furlough them because they're the weakest link. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or I really ought to have this difficult conversation, but I tell you what, I'll just furlough them. Yeah. And I knew, and my team knew, that some of those conversations would be had a year later. Well, we didn't know it would be a year, but we knew that they would still need to happen. Now, some of those people have moved on. Some of them have been made redundant. Mm-hmm. There'll be more of that to come. I mean, we're still doing lots, unfortunately, lots of restructurings, because the business, A, obviously, cash has been a massive issue for many businesses, but also they've pivoted. So they need a different skill set, different structures than they needed before. But also they've thought long and hard about who they want to keep and who they don't. You know, and something else I said last March to business owner clients is, you're going to find out a lot about your people in the next few months. You're going to find out who's really with you and who's a passenger. Now, in many cases, they have found that out. There are still going to be some discoveries to be had in the coming months as some of those people do come back. So there's a lot of restructuring still to be done. Partly kick cans and partly just the world's changed. So businesses are changing as a result.
Yeah, I read a news article yesterday that was about the amount of insolvencies that are expected in Scotland as furlough money, not furlough money, but the C-bills, the business interruption loans, have to start to get paid back, and what that could mean for businesses and businesses really operating on a sort of shoestring at the minute. From your, you have multiple clients, do you see more sort of turmoil ahead from that?
It's been a recession that's been quite divisive. Mm-hmm. So there are businesses that have literally just fallen over. And there are business, and some of those businesses, in fact, many of those, not all of them, but many of them were probably not strong businesses anyway. So what we see in any, it's the Woolworths experience, isn't it? Debenhams on this occasion. They were always going to go. It's just a case of when. Then there are businesses that, I guess because of the loans and the grants, have hung in. And I can already see this week, walking around Edinburgh, I can see hospitality businesses that have opened back up that won't be there in 6 months' time. I can see it. You know, they're not following the health guidelines. They haven't repositioned their proposition for their client base. They're not treating their staff well. And that's just me walking around as a punter, and I can see it. They will probably topple over in the next little while, I'm afraid. Then there are other businesses. I said three, I'm actually going to make it four. The third one is the businesses who have had a really hard time but are well-run businesses. Yeah. And they will take a while to get going again and to catch up, but they'll be fine. They're here for the long run. And then the last category is actually there's quite a lot of businesses that have done really very well in the last year. Yeah. And that doesn't get talked about a lot. You know, so if you make syringes for vaccines, this is a really, really good time. If you make hand sanitizer, it's a really good time. What was it? The company that makes Durex apparently have done really well with cold remedies, with protection, but less so with cold remedies. Yeah. So, you know, there's all of that going on. All of that impacts on the staff team. How many people do you need, of what composition, and who are they? And then how are they led? How are they managed? So, yeah, there's going to be an absolute mass of issues that business owners are going to have to deal with over the next year. And what I'd say is, you know, again, this is not a pitch. There's lots of people you can talk to, but don't be alone.
No.
Get help to work that through, whether that's a pal, whether that's a professional, but get help, because you want to do it right, because you're going to make decisions now about people, about process, and about profit that will shape the rest of your business life potentially.
Absolutely. Ian, thank you so much for your time today. I know you're an in-demand, not only through the HR department, but now through your book as well. So I really appreciate your time and sharing what is ultimately more advice for business leaders and owners, as you've done throughout 7 years at the HR department, but in particular the last 12 months. So thank you very much indeed for everything.
My absolute pleasure. Great talking to you. And there's more fun to come, I'm afraid, guys. So let's all stick together, you know, and just help supporting each other, giving advice and being there for each other. And we'll come through strongly the other side, I'm sure of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks a lot.